Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office. Just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you're here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Oh, let's get a little demented here. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com. Oh, my goodness. /find us, member FDIC. Wintrust.com/find us, member FDIC. Oh, my God. Not in the middle of that. It's just Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. I was looking at, there was a goal that was scored in the Denmark-Russia game. Oh, my God.
I'm so confused over what's happened.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what you were. I'm like, did the copy change?
That's pretty
change?
Impressive, wasn't it? Wasn't that pretty impressive?
How do you describe it?
It was a shot. I was going
was
about
a
it.
That's well, a cracker. That was
it,
a cracker.
It was a cracker. From about how far out and about 1,000 miles an hour. That was incredible. That was a pretty incredible goal.
3-1 Denmark, right?
Yes.
That's the score, the 80th minute.
Yeah.
This is the stat that I just wanted to give you guys. I'm sure you guys know this.
Oh, my God! No, just kidding.
Here are the records of two of the four conference final teams in the NBA from last year.
Yeah.
And this is the hope for the Bulls. The Hawks were 20-47 a year ago.
And by the way, I think at the halfway point, weren't they under 500 as well?
This year. They were out of it for a little bit. 20-47. And the Suns were 34-39. And the reason they improved is they got to the bubble and they won 8 in a row. Like, they were even worse before the bubble. So the Bulls are in
that. And then they signed Chris Paul.
Right. And that's, I'm not telling you that the Bulls are going to go from that point to this point. They have major work to be done.
Yeah.
And look, even the Knicks went from 21-45 to the fourth seed. So, look, it's Eversley and it's AK, but they have big shoes to fill compared to some of their cohorts in the Eastern and Western conferences.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure's on. I know they're not Gar Packs, and a lot of us say, thank goodness they're not Gar Packs. But look, the Knicks have done it.
Yep.
The Hawks have done it. The Suns have done it. Okay, do it.
Denmark is doing it as well. No, you're right. I agree with you. I think that there's an opportunity. You look at what the Suns did. You look at what the Knicks did. You look at what the Hawks did, and you have hope that you can find a way out of this malaise and find yourself in the postseason competing.
Yes.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. A quick story before I get to the story of the day, sports or rue-wise. You sent me a text this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to share any. At Saturday at 9:25 a.m., you sent
me
a text.
This is funny, Abdallah.
It says, I can't believe Grace was killed. And immediately my heart dropped. I was on the golf course, and I was checking my phone. And I was like, holy mother of mercy. I'm thinking Mark Grace has been in an accident. I mean, it's not funny. I mean, like, I'm in the middle of a match, a meaningless one, because at that point, my partner Don and I had already been eliminated from postseason play. But I'm like, holy no. And I went to Twitter, saw nothing, went to Google.
He's looking to Google if Mark Grace has been in an accident.
And I sent to him, what happened? And then I realized it wasn't Mark. And I said, I thought you meant Mark Grace, Peaky Blinders. And then you sent me a picture of one of the characters from Peaky Blinders.
Saturday morning,
my heart chopped and I almost pooped myself.
So on the weekends, I binge when the kids are out with my wife in the morning. That's when I work out and I'm able to like binge some of the Peaky Blinders stuff. Yeah. And I couldn't believe a turn of events that happened. And you know that I watch it on Saturday. I know you don't know my schedule.
I didn't know that.
I sent you it, and I didn't think I needed to send it within context.
Yeah.
And you thought Mark Grace had been killed.
See, and that's why I didn't tell anybody I was watching Game of Thrones. Because you imagine if I came in every day, like, hey, guys, Red Wedding, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, like, I've had a good time kind of watching Sylvie watch or listen to him kind of respond to what he's watching because I think it's such a great series. But that one caught me by surprise a little bit. Like, I was a little nervous.
What happened?
I'm trying to make a putt here. Oh, my God. Supreme Court unanimously sides with former college players in a dispute with the NCAA about compensation. The Supreme Court unanimously affirmed a ruling today that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated and also opens the door, this is the key, for future legal challenges that could deal a much more significant blow to the NCAA's current business model. Judge Neil Gorsuch wrote the court's opinion, which upheld a district court judge's decision that the NCAA was violating antitrust law by placing limits on the education-related benefits that schools can provide to the athletes. The decision allows schools to provide their athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it some way connected to their education. NCAA is not above the law, Justice Kavanaugh wrote as well. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America.
You know who's great on this? A great follow is Jay Billis.
Yeah.
He's been firing off several tweets about this. He believes the NCAA totally screwed this up. He believes Mark Emmert totally has taken advantage of the student athlete.
Yes. I mean, look,
Kavanaugh basically broke it down to this. Like, imagine the entire restaurant industry getting together and saying, hey, we're not going to pay we're going to lower the wages of our chefs because people like to eat food made by chefs that don't get paid as much.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's what,
no, and it's very,
and, well,
and by the way, I think the key to this is was kind of a direct ruling. What it has done, and I think the Supreme Court justices alluded to as much, it's they're basically laying the groundwork or leaving the breadcrumbs for the player's side to continue their legal action, and that this will grow into a bigger situation that will benefit the players. And I was talking to someone earlier. Don't think that the schools won't have a response eventually. You know what they'll do when they have to start sharing the money with some of their players, or however this works out. They are going to limit the scholarships. They will manipulate the way that they do their own business to circumvent some of these rulings that have occurred and that will occur.
That won't affect the bottom line.
Of course. Of course. So instead of having X number of scholarship players, there are a lot of guys that are on scholarship that never see the field. That's just the reality of the business. Those scholarships more than likely will be eliminated, in my humble opinion. This is how they'll get around some of the revenue issues. But it sounds like this is just step one in a series of steps that will change kind of the face of the revenue, you know, distribution model in college sports.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean,
we've been talking about it for years.
I don't know how they'll do it. Somebody smarter and more educated and more in the field.
That's not the NCAA, though.
Right. But somebody probably has a good plan that is equitable. I don't know what that ultimately will look like. I think we're a ways away from that. I don't know what will happen. You know, I mean, we've always talked about, hey, if a car dealership wants to pay Trevor Lawrence to come in and sign autographs for 4 hours on a Saturday and pay him $20,000, why shouldn't he be able to benefit from it?
Yeah.
So I don't know where we're going, but I think we're heading in a new direction for sure. A couple of other basic things for you. What else do I have? I saw Eli Manning is now back with the Giants in some sort of capacity. That's pretty cool. DeGrom has been cleared to start versus the Braves on Monday as well. Eli Manning has rejoined the Giants in a business operations capacity and a fan engagement role. Hi, I'm Eli Manning. Welcome to Giant Stadium.
The Mannings are very engaging. So
what is Peyton is doing something with Cooper, not Cooper.
Yeah,
Cooper. It's Peyton and Cooper doing a college trivia show.
Oh, are they doing
that?
Have
you not seen that? I mean, the promotions are all over the place. That's what he's. I
told you I paid, what was it, $125 or $150 to watch Cooper
and cut it up, weren't they?
Right before the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was a kind of a ripoff. When I didn't get my question asked. and I was just basically watching a television show on my computer.
I don't know what's going on with it.
It's an NBC quiz show called College Bowl.
Yeah.
Peyton will be joined by his older brother, Cooper.
Cooper.
Cooper is the father of five-star 2023 quarterback prospect Manning.
Oh, yeah. Arch is going to be like the cream of the crop. He's going to be the prize jewel.
You know what's fun now? My future hope was Arch Manning would be a Bear. But now we have Justin Fields, and I'm hoping that for the next 15 years, I don't have to worry about
any
of these
future guys. Arch Manning's a few years away from being, NFL ready. But
at one time, I thought that was the most realistic way the Bears were going to get a guy.
Each show, teams of three representing some of the nation's top schools must work together to answer questions on a variety of subjects. The top two schools advance to the final, while they compete head-to-head for the Capital One College Bowl trophy and a scholarship put toward their education. See, they're not even paying them.
No.
It's going to be Alabama, Tide, Auburn, Columbia University, not college, unfortunately. Otherwise, Chris and I would be involved. University of Michigan, University of Minnesota, Ole Miss, Morehouse, University of Tennessee, University of Southern California, UCLA, Virginia, Xavier, and that's it.
My wise-ass brother and I were sitting on the couch watching this, watching the commercial a couple of days ago. And my brother looks at me and goes, what did Cooper do wrong that Peyton is having to get him out of, that he's actually participating in this? I was like, I'm sure it's going to be entertaining because everything that Peyton does is somewhat entertaining.
Very, yes.
But it was kind of odd. Like, I'm looking for Peyton to be on, like, Sunday Night Football or run a football team. And
he does the show on ESPN Plus, which I love. He did one with David Letterman. This is on ESPN Plus, and it's outstanding.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, I've got some nonsense. I've got the nuttiest story of the day, and it is Monday, so Florida or Ohio.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Why is all that cocaine washing ashore in Florida? $1.2 million worth of coke, booger sugar as we call it here, washes ashore at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. Multiple packages of booger sugar washed ashore on a beach at Cape Canaveral last month, the U.S. Space Force said. Angie Chambers, she's wildlife manager for the 45th Civil Engineer Squadron, was patrolling the beach to perform a sea turtle nesting survey. When she noticed a small package wrapped tightly in plastic and tape, she thought it could be drugs and contacted the 45th Security Forces Squadron.
Sea turtles are acting weird. What's going on over here?
Brevard County Sheriff's Office narcotics agent performed a field test on one of the packages, verified it was cocaine.
Wow.
$1.2 million worth of cocaine washing up on the shore.
That's not considered a lot, though. $1.2 million in cocaine?
No, that's personal use.
How many nights fun can you get out of 1.2?
One really good night?
Really, that's it?
Or like three okay
You're
nights?
You're an expensive date.
Like three
you
okay
You are an
nights.
Expensive date.
I love when we talk drugs and we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Take your condoms home.
What?
Social distancing and sex in the Olympic Village. Tokyo Olympic organizers plan to give away about 150,000 condoms at next month's games, but are telling athletes to take them home rather than use them in the Olympic Village, where social distancing rules and coronavirus measures are top right.
They're handing them out.
Take them home.
But they're saying don't use them here. Yeah. That's like something you do with a 14-year-old during sex.
No, but it's like it's supply and demand. Like they already make, they know the Olympics are coming. The condoms are made.
Pardon
they
got to
do something with them. So, you know, you got to give them out.
The Olympics are phrasing.
Yeah, there you go. This story,
I'm getting better
every
at the
four, every 4 years when there's an Olympic Games or every 2 years when they have an Olympic Village, it's the same story every time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, there's a bunch of young people getting together. What are they going to do?
Condoms. The athletes.
With a lot of pressure built up. What are they going
to
do?
They like to socialize.
Wow,
but this is different because they're saying not to use them. They're usually like, here they are. Have a good time.
They're still handing them out, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you handing them out and telling them to use them at home?
With your own, you can use them with people from your own country. Because, like, y'all came over together.
People you're quarantined with?
Yeah, people you're quarantined with.
I think I'll go for it. Go for it.
Which leads me to the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball,
and
Chris.
It's bound to get a little bit nutty.
You're right, Sylvie. Let's go to Mississippi, where a Mississippi man spent 15 hours at Waffle House after finishing last in his fantasy football league.
I saw this. I think Matthew Berry was tweeting about this over the weekend.
15 hours, 9 waffles, and 1 upset stomach later, a man in Mississippi completed his punishment for finishing last in his fantasy football league.
That to me sounds like a vacation, like a 15 hours in a waffle. I love the Waffle House. Well, I've always talked about that.
Lee Sanderlin also does as well. He lost. He live tweeted his journey fulfilling his penalty, which required him to spend 24 hours at a Waffle House in Brandon, Mississippi. For every waffle he ate, however, an hour was shaved off the clock.
Okay, so he was there 15 hours, so he ate 9 waffles, that's it?
That is correct.
I would think...
He was live-tweeting this, his body looked he looked a mess.
Really? Nine waffles? I mean, maybe I'm not thinking about this.
Quitters never win, winners never quit.
They're not pancakes.
It's a big waffle.
They're plate size.
I know what a Waffle House is. I mean, come on now. When I was a kid, we'd stop at the Waffle House, they'd stare at the Silverman family. They're like, you people ain't from around here, are you? You know, we'd be in the Chattanooga area, you know, driving to Florida over the Christmas holiday.
Are there no Waffle Houses in Illinois?
There's like downstate.
Not up here.
Yeah.
There's not.
Yeah, because Cap and Jay Hood were just talking
Yes.
I forget who they were talking to. Their favorite restaurant was Waffle House. And there's not one around.
We'd always drive by and go, hey, look at the Waddle House.
No, but it was
Waffle. Yeah, we were young.
Do you guys want to play a game?
Yeah.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio.
Who is it?
And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Use promo code...
Chicago. You'll get 20% off and free shipping.
And this is where you tell us that you shaved yourself
a week ago, last Sunday.
I'm sure they're also the leader in male grooming in Arlington Heights, as the mayor will join us here in
a couple minutes.
3 minutes.
Yeah. I want to know exactly what the Bears' bid was.
$4. $4.50. A motorist named Booze arrested for drunk driving.
Yes. Tampa.
A woman named Kanisha Booze, age 34, was busted late Friday following a crash near her home.
Tampa, Florida.
She crashed into a Taco Bell sign, the very Taco Bell where she works.
Oh, wow.
She was released after posting a $1,700 bond.
She was there for her shift.
Lots of irony in the... Right.
Coincidence?
Is that coincidence? Or is that wobbly irony? Booze exhibited bloodshot, watery eyes, a dazed and blank expression on her face, and the odor of an alcoholic beverage on her breath. I ask you,
listen,
Florida,
if this was Ohio, it wouldn't have been a car. It would have been a riding lawnmower. Okay? And it would have been in a Shoney's.
Not if they work a Shoney's. Yeah. I think the Shoney's.
Yeah, that's right.
Do they have a cowboy hat, the Shoney's? No?
We had Frisch's Big Boy, where there's the giant character.
Right.
Itch, and he had the plaid overalls. That was more of our...
I'm going Ohio. I will go outside Cincy.
Even though she works at the restaurant, sometimes when you're drunk, you want a crepe case. I'm going Ohio.
Really?
Yeah.
But you don't have a very high opinion of us Ohioans.
No. Kanisha Booze was arrested for drunk driving after she rammed into the Taco Bell sign where she works in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah, oh, that's
right.
You were
right
there.
Next to Tampa.
You were right there.
I've been to that Taco Bell.
That's great.
Shirtless, drunk, with one shoe on.
And then you had to poop right afterwards. You don't last long.
No, I ate in the bathroom.
All right, coming up in 2 minutes, we talk to the mayor of Arlington Heights. Will he tell us how much the Bears bid to buy that property? Waddle is guessing $4. We'll get to that in $4. Two short minutes.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
More of your calls on the Bears stadium situation, as we just had the mayor of Arlington Heights on, Tom Hayes. If you missed the interview, you can catch it on the ESPN Chicago app.
Arlington Heights was my first destination as a Chicagoan. I lived in the Arlington Club. I think that's Arlington Heights.
That was your first?
My first, yeah. That was the first place I ever stayed.
Where'd you go then afterwards? You went
Buffalo
west.
Grove.
You went Buffalo Grove.
Sherbourg Townhomes.
Did
then
you go
I went to Hawthorne Woods?
Yes, Hawthorne Woods.
Loved
is
it
far.
Out there. I just couldn't get east.
Isn't it
loved
far? It. Far, right?
Do you know where Kemper Lakes Golf Course is?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I live right like a mile away from there. It is, it's, you know, there's no
and
easy
then from
way.
There, you went
then
from
I went east to Lake Forest.
Okay, so Hawthorne Woods is when you and Butthead were
yes,
neighbors?
We could, he could kick a football from his house to my front lawn.
Because he's a professional kicker.
I could hit an 8-iron from my front yard to his front lawn, and after a few drinks, actually did it several times.
You guys
times.
Were doing it, yeah.
And hit it over a house to get to his house.
That's awesome.
And I would hit him to him and leave him in his front yard.
You would throw beers at each other.
Pretty much.
Yeah, have another one.
Yeah.
The Good, the Bad, the Dirty is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Vans Industrial, working safe since 1964. All right, Waddle, what's your good?
My good is an entirely themed U.S. Open, Good, Bad, and Dirty. So my good is Jon Rahm birdieing 17 and 18, which propelled him to win the U.S. Open yesterday. I believe, if I heard the announcers correctly, I was a couple cocktails in. It was Father's Day. I was watching golf. I think it was on my third beer. I still had alcohol in my system from the several days before. But I do believe I heard correctly that it was just the fourth time that a U.S. Open winner had birdied 17 and 18 and gone on to win. And I believe the names were Tom Watson, Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus to do that. Jon Rahm, nads of steel, making two putts on 17 and 18. It was beautiful. So good for Jon Rahm.
And especially after what happened to him a couple weeks ago,
by
right?
By the way, did you see? Yes. Did you see? Were you guys watching the U.S. Open, guys? Did you see Rahm, who finished before Louis was done? So he goes to the practice range. He's got his lovely wife and newborn baby, and Phil Mickelson sitting in a chair. His wife holding the baby, sitting next to Phil in those dark sunglasses, chatting it up. And don't you remember, Phil was the one that predicted years ago that Jon Rahm was going to be a star and eventually would win a number of majors. But it was just so funny. They were the only two people on the driving range. It was Jon Rahm's wife and the baby.
It's pretty cool.
Phil.
Didn't Merkin give a story that Jon Rahm also was coached by Phil Mickelson's brother, perhaps?
That may be true. I
like, and they're
that.
Both, and he, Jon Rahm, grew up a big fan of Phil Mickelson?
I think so. I mean, so, Phil's from the area as well.
So they're just setting up shop, watching
yeah.
on the,
yeah.
Because he had to be ready in case they were to go extras,
and,
right?
And Phil's, it's cloudy out. Phil's still got those sunglasses on, cool as hell.
Yeah. My good is, I'm going to give both sides, believe it or not, a good in this game seven. Kevin Durant, a great. You know how I feel about him. I brought him up earlier. I feel like he gets dissed way too much in the modern day NBA. He is awesome, and I'm fine with him going to Brooklyn. I was fine with him going to Golden State. I'm fine with his burner accounts. I love watching Kevin Durant play basketball. My also is good for the Bucks because I don't believe they'll get a better chance ever, ever, ever to win a title. This has broken perfectly for the Milwaukee Bucks, and they are in great shape.
After game two, they lost game two, right?
Yeah,
and they were
down,
trailing
yeah.
by 35 points.
Yep.
Nobody thought that, like, Carm had a ticket on them to get to the Eastern Conference
but
Finals.
Remember when I told you, I said that the Clippers, who lost the first two against Dallas in L.A.,
right.
still came back to win that series.
Right.
The Bucks lost the first two in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So they had two. They still had their home games to be played. So I didn't think, and obviously the injury to Kyrie changed everything.
Well, and Harden was nothing close to the normal James Harden.
Right.
He couldn't do anything on the leg. I give him credit for being out there, but he was not. He was not healthy. You could obviously tell.
Who's the 3-point shooter on Brooklyn who couldn't hit a three? Now all of a sudden,
Joe Harris.
Joe Harris. A lot of people. I forgot about this. I think I blacked it out. Do you remember how bad Kyle Korver was in the 2010-2011 playoffs against the Heat? He had so many open threes and he could not make them.
Yeah.
And that was Joe Harris. He had so many chances. All right, boys. What are your goods?
My good's going to go to Devin Booker so far in the postseason, and also the Suns and Four guy. Did you see the pictures of Suns and Four guy going around yesterday?
He's a superhero.
Yeah, he's a social media star now. He's taking pictures with people.
The other guy that he punched, I saw, was on some sort of podcast, and they're hoping to have a pay-per-view fight between the two of them again.
Well, no, the fight happened.
Another one.
Suns
a rematch.
And Four guy kicked his ass and his friend's ass.
The Suns and Four guy have a podcast yet?
See, he will.
In the works?
He will.
Spotify?
Call Her and Four. Know. It's going to be called Call
he
Her
He got
and
Devin
four.
Booker's Call tickets, four. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And so that's my good, getting him tickets and then him showing up and having the Booker jersey, taking pictures with the Four with everybody. I mean, he's got his own action figure. Like, this is ridiculous.
His own action figure.
America. He does. This is hashtag America, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes.
All right, guys. So nothing over the weekend spoke to me more than this moment. So it's going to be my good. Bryson DeChambeau. Did you guys see this on Sunday? On 11, he bogeyed.
Yes.
On 12, he bogeyed. On 13, double bogey. And on 17, a snowman.
Yes.
He had an eight on a par four.
It's actually
there
my journey with his
more
play. Yes.
My spirit animal than Bryson DeChambeau trying to hit it as far as he can, but he sucks at golf just like all of us.
Was he six
Shout
over?
Out.
Is that what he was yesterday for the round?
Could have been. His back nine was atrocious.
It was incredible. Yeah. And watching him implode was awesome because I'm a Koepka guy, so shout out to
Didn't he photobomb Koepka, too, like Thursday or Friday? I believe there was another time when he photobombed him again.
Koepka had a chance.
He's a bit of a clown. Did you guys see before the tournament he was claiming that none of this stuff bothers him? It bothers him.
They keep yelling Brooksy at him.
Yeah, keep yelling Brooksy at him. Dude sucks. Best of luck. You got an eight. You're on the tour and you got an eight like Black and Abdallah. What are you doing?
He was the defending U.S. Open champ.
Got a snowman, Waddle.
I get it. Okay. I get it.
What's your bad?
My bad was Louis Oosthuizen's drive on 17. I was shocked. He's as steady as the day is long. He hit the ball into the hazard on 17. I had to take a drop. He almost made the par putt. But I couldn't believe that his driver failed him on 17 in crunch time.
Yeah. My bad is Rajay Davis, and I have no problem calling out Rajay Davis, even though this was only his first time broadcasting. And I think this was like on a YouTube broadcast. Wasn't this an online broadcast that MLB was doing? And it was Rajay Davis, who nearly crushed my soul when he hit that home run in Game 7. So he's doing the Anaheim Angels game. They're interviewing Mike Trout during the game. Take a listen to Rajay Davis.
Hey, it's been a pleasure watching you, though. But one thing I have for you, man.
I just lost my train of thought.
That happens every once in a while, man. It happens. Hey, by the way, Mike, Raj is making his broadcast debut today. And he's crushing it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's off to a good start. Except for that one. Apologize for that.
Nah, it's all good.
Three balls in a strike.
I know what it is now, Trout. I'm back already.
I apologize, man.
I'm back. Hey, man. Talking about Ohtani. Well, how is he in the clubhouse? Is he the kind of guy where does he speak English? Like, or do you guys communicate like that on that level?
Yeah, he's starting to get better. It's kind of like. You have a conversation with him, and he'll know what you're saying, but I don't know if he can, you know, get a sentence together. Obviously, he's got Ipe, but I think he knows more English than people think. He's a great dude in the clubhouse, very humble dude, just does his work, comes in every day, works hard, and you don't really hear much from him. Just sits in the corner, and, you know, like I said, he's a great teammate.
He was not comfortable, Mike Trout. Rajay Davis forgot his question, and the reason he forgot his question was his question was going to be, does Shohei Ohtani speak English? That's what he had for his first broadcast. That's not how Tom Waddle would have started his first broadcast.
I'm not going to throw stones. I go back and look at the stuff I did first off, and I want to choke myself.
What do you guys have for your bad?
I'm going to go with the White Sox. I mean, I don't even know if they showed up to Houston. Did they go? They had three hits on yesterday, seven left on base on Saturday, eight left on base on Friday, and four hits on Thursday. They had an error in every single game.
Yeah, Rodon was the only bright light from the entire series, wasn't it?
The over strikeouts on Rodon always cash. Yeah, that's money. But other than that, I mean, what the hell?
Abdallah, I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about it earlier and we could talk about it in the 5 o'clock hour. There was really nothing big picture that would worry me as a Sox fan except what you just brought up. They throw the baseball around too many times. There are too many times they do weird stuff. And they have the pitching, but you also have to have the defense.
Got to clean it up.
All the good teams that win the World Series usually have top defenses. And this team makes some really bad errors. Tim Anderson made one. Was that yesterday or Saturday? He made an awful error in a rundown. They were like just a mess trying to. Keuchel was pissed about it, and it led to his demise. But
he needs to be better, too.
They have to be better. He didn't get much help, though. No. I mean, Black, what's your bad?
A lot of heat today coming down on Ben Simmons after the Sixers are eliminated from the NBA playoffs. But my bad goes to Doc Rivers. Your rotations have sucked all playoffs. He still thinks you throw out five bench players all at once and then you wait for the starters to come back in. Multiple games in these playoffs, they've blown leads or the game got away from them because of that type of archaic thought process as a coach. And two, you know, Ben Simmons can't shoot. Part of that's on you. You're the coach. You got to help him out. I know today he's backtracking. He's saying that they have a plan for Simmons today. But listen, Doc, it didn't work for you with the Clippers. And they advanced this year. They played better than everyone thought they would here after Kawhi's injury. Doc Rivers, you're my bad.
Yeah. That watching them play, Chris, yesterday, honestly, it was painful offensively. I give Embiid credit for being out there with the knee issue. But your offense can't be Embiid at the top of the circle.
Right. Get down in the post.
Yes.
You're the best center in the game.
But he's playing at the top of the circle.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. How about Game 5? I don't know if we ever talked about Game 5, the way they choked in Game 5.
Was he 0 for 12 or 0 for 13?
In the second half. And it was a complete meltdown. All right. Coming up next, we'll get into our dirties. We also have Jesse Rogers to talk White Sox and Cubs at 5 o'clock. Waddle's got some great baseball stuff, too, that he wants to get to on the Cubs. It's Waddle and Sylvie.